General, with both your political and military hats on, can you give us your sense of this speech? You have some sense of its purpose, whether its purpose was realized.
Well, first of all, let me just say I'm so glad he said what he said in praise of the men and women of the armed forces and their families. They've done magnificently. They deserved all of that, and I just felt really great for them, especially those who were there personally to hear it. It was just so heartwarming to see him shaking his hand, and just that respect and that that loyalty and that bond there. It's just very, very important for the armed forces. And I was glad to see him call on others to join the armed forces, because I think that's very important now, too. And I hope that we'll get over our recruiting crisis that we're having in the United States Army. Now, as far as the rest of the speech is concerned, I thought he said some things that had to be said. I think almost every American I've talked to knows that we cannot afford to lose. We must prevail. And so the issue really is, are we doing enough? Are we doing it the right way? There were a lot of very strong points in the president's speech. There were some questions he didn't resolve. For example, he didn't really come to grips with the dichotomy between what Vice President Cheney said, that the insurgency is in its last throes, and what Secretary Rumsfeld warned, that this could last 5 to 12 more years. And he admitted progress is uneven. He didn't really explain why car bombings have gone up despite our effective operations, or why the insurgents are coming in increasing numbers, or why the insurgency is still the same strength. These are all the elements that create doubt and uncertainty in the minds of the American public. So I think at the strategic level, the president said a lot of things that had to be said about American resolve. I think underneath, these issues will resurface because they haven't been addressed with precision and clarity. And finally, Brett, I just have to say, I was one of those who said that this was an elective war. We didn't have to fight this war. The president chose to have America fight this war. Saddam wasn't part of 9/11. Saddam didn't have the WMD to threaten America. But now that we're there, we have to succeed.
Let me ask you this question about it becoming the central front that it has certainly become in the war on terror. Certainly a central front, as the president put it. Why do you suppose the terrorists have been flooding into Iraq to fight the very well-equipped and trained U.S. military there? Why would they choose that battlefield, in your judgment?
Well, as Archives has said, it's a great recruiting tool for the terrorists. They're able to cite this as an American invasion of an Islamic homeland, and they're able to use it as a recruiting and a training device. And so while I'm all in favor of everything we're doing to get rid of the terrorists that come in there, I'm worried that we're creating actually more terrorists, and that they're then taking skills they've learned in combat against us, and they're flowing out. We've seen reports of terrorists leaving Iraq, going back through Syria, and ending up in Europe, where maybe they'll be plotting against us in the near future.
Is it your view, then, that if this Iraq war had not been fought, that these people who are coming there now would not be terrorists?
I think that's the case, that's part of the problem here, is how should we have defeated terrorism most effectively? I fully supported the invasion of Afghanistan. I would have put more troops in there and finished the job and hopefully gotten rid of Osama bin Laden.
Terrorists didn't flow into Afghanistan the way they're flowing into Iraq.
Harder to get to and more difficult to get at the Americans that are in Afghanistan. Here, the Americans are there. We're there as targets for them, and they're learning from us. This is what the commanders tell us, that the improvised explosive devices are getting more sophisticated. The insurgent operations are getting stronger and more sophisticated. So on the one hand, we know we must succeed. But on the other hand, we got to be really honest with ourselves. We are creating enemies.
So is that an argument? As a military strategist, do you view that as an argument for more troops, for fewer troops, or for the troop strength we have?
Well, I go with the commanders on the ground. They say they got the right number of troops. My question to the commanders would be, okay, what do we need to do to get a better grip on the control of the borders? How do we keep more insurgents out? What do we need to do diplomatically? Do we need to work with Syria? Do we need something with Iran? How do we build a regional bulwark that stops the terrorist flow? If we could do that, then we can work more easily on the problems that are there inside Iraq.
As your view is, I'd ask you to view this from a political context now, General. Is it, you mentioned earlier you thought a lot of these questions had to do with the growth of the insurgency and its apparent gathering strength in some respects, the possibility that it's a big recruiting tool, had not been answered. Right. Is it your view that the president has therefore bought himself on this war very little time with this speech, or that the public support will grow, at least in the near term, on this?
I think he'll get a near-term balance, and I hope he will. I mean, we've got to stay engaged in this. What I hope for is that the president and the administration will really give the American people the detailed information they need, the benchmarks that are accurate and can be used to really assess progress, with the understanding that benchmarks are imprecise, no timeline, no exit time or anything like this, but help the American people get behind this, and then level with the American people about the real challenges of terrorism. We've got to get our allies engaged. We can't win it with military power alone. We've got to bring all the elements of U.S. power. We've got to bring our allies in. We've got to bring international law in. We've got to bring intelligence agencies in. We've got to work together right. with our friends and allies in the Arab world.
Let me just ask you one final question, General, and that is this. If, in fact, this conflict is proving to be the recruiting tool that you suggest for international terrorism, and that we are creating terrorists in some numbers of people who would otherwise not be terrorists, isn't that an argument for getting out?
Well, I think it is an argument in part that says get this thing finished and reduce those forces. But we got to get out the right way, and the right way is when the job's done there. And this is the sort of dilemma that we're in. We must succeed, but we know that in the process of trying to succeed, meet the objectives that we've been given there, that we are also serving as a stimulus, an incentive for terrorists to come in and to recruit. It's a dilemma.
General Wesley Clark, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brett.
We've got to take a brief break.